Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
With the inevitability of the Earth's rotation around the sun, Sean Marsh has made big Sheffield Shield runs ahead of the first test. And the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through that and every other failure and success from the second round of the Shield. My name's Rudy Etzel, I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Ethan Meldrum.
Well, I don't call the Marsh Sheffield Shield for nothing.
And, of course, George Porter is here, the most South Australian man in Victoria. And we're going to run through the Sheffield Shield Round 2 wrap. We're going to kick off with the WA-Victoria game. The Vics just missed out on an innings loss, thanks mostly to Sean Marsh's epic 214. They just couldn't get him out. And he batted for about 2 days on that whacker pitch.
Is epic the right word? Well, from an Australian selector's point of view?
Yeah.
Just a typical Australian fan. Sean Marsh, Sheffield Shield, pre-test squad announcement kind of dig. We made a bit of a gag about that online the other day, which was well-received.
A subtle troll, I think. It might be referred to.
But a lot of people embraced it because I think everyone's just fed up of him doing the same thing. Gets himself in the squad, gets himself in the team, plays three tests, makes 50 runs, gets dropped again. It's just, we've seen it all before, haven't we?
Well, that's the thing with Sean, isn't it? I mean, he's 36 years old now, and you know what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be, you know, the odd big Shield ton, and then he's going to come in, and he's going to average about 35. I just don't feel like they should pick him regardless.
No.
Surely the sun has set on Sean Marsh's test career.
You would think so. He's a very safe option if the selectors want to go that way. But look, playing Pakistan, surely you got to go with someone who's, you know, got a little bit more promise for the future.
Well, it's time. You've got to look at the next Ashes now. You've got to. That's what you've got to. That's what every test match between now and the next Ashes needs to be looking forward to. And you just got to go, we're not picking a 38, 39-year-old Sean Marsh then. So
surely not. Please not.
Let's not get in that trap.
It was against a very good Victorian bowling unit who, most of them have just come back from the Ashes, have represented Australia at some level. Pattinson, Boland, Siddle, Maxwell. There might have been one other in there that I can't think of now.
Tremaine.
Oh, Tremaine, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's,
yeah. To be fair to him, it was a very good bowling lineup, but I'm with you boys.
But it's just like, I mean, it's if five and six have been were problems during the whole Ashes, and it's time to try and find the next five and six, not the like the last one.
Just on that game as well, WA 9 for 519, and the Vics all out for 341. At what point, I was wondering, did Peter Hanscom go to Sean Marsh and say, hey, do you guys want to declare and make a game with it? Are we happy with where the game's at here? I don't know.
Give it a rest.
It's all right. South Australia's up next, George.
Yeah. bad loss for the Vics. WA, they batted forever. Speaking of that 5 and 6 conundrum we have, Marcus Stoinis made a nice little 56. He's made a few runs.
Up the oil rig.
Come on, the oil rig.
I'm a big advocate for
the oil. Is he a little bit of a smoky for the test side, do you think?
I do,
absolutely. They clearly like him in and around the Australian team.
Now that Mitch Marsh has busted his hand in half, you've got it. They like playing that all-rounder at six. And
he's made 350s from three digs.
Yeah, it's not averaging bad. 58,
not bad.
I think it is.
Yeah. He's a good size too.
He's a very good size.
He's an extremely good size. We will get into that. We're all picking our top six, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yeah. One bloke probably not going to feature in any of our top sixes, I wouldn't have thought. Cam Bancroft, 10 and 6 not out. Not going brilliantly.
No, thanks.
Nice to see Jai Richardson amongst the wickets, though.
Jeezy bowled quick.
He did, didn't he?
He bowled absolute lightning. We've always had it on in the background through the week. And we'll specifically to watch him and Maxwell go toe-to-toe because they got a little bit of a recent beef. But God, he was really bending the back and sending him through. And he's just good to watch. Like, he's really,
he is,
really
yeah.
good to watch.
I'm a big proponent of his. I'd love to see him play a bit.
He'd be in our four best quicks at the moment, I would have thought.
You reckon?
Just about. Hazelwood's probably number one. Mm-hmm. Stark's still there.
Cummins is number one, surely.
Cummins. Yeah. If we had questions about Stark.
George Turnease, Mike. Off
you. If we had questions about Starkey, I know we'll talk to him about him in a minute, but our fast bowling stocks are real healthy.
Yeah, I think he's gone past Paddo from what we've seen in these early rounds.
I reckon he's more pickable than Paddo at the moment.
For sure.
Yes, I also agree with that. It was nice to see Marcus Harrison, Will Bukowski amongst the runs. as well. Peter Henscombe, not so much. He looks miles away from the international cricket scene at the moment, doesn't he?
He wouldn't make an Australia A side at the moment. Mm.
It's remarkable that he played in the World Cup
semi-final. Wasn't that long ago.
That is unbelievable, isn't it, when you think of that?
And going back a few years before that even, he looked like the future of Australian cricket
when he first came in. We were discussing before. He was averaging like 45, 50 for probably his first...
Some very learned friends of mine who say scribes were saying that he was the next man in line for the Australian captaincy at that point.
Wow.
Mm. And Jimmy Anderson, it turns out, makes fools of us all.
Yeah.
Queensland had a decent little win, 4 wickets over South Australia. George, your boys.
Yep.
That's not looking the goods there. Travis Head, 0-12. He says he's not out of form. He's just out of runs, which is... probably code for out of form. I would have thought that's the definition of out of form for a batsman.
He's batted himself into a hole, though. He made a 25-ball duck, and then it took him another 20 balls to get off the mark before he edged one for 12 in the second innings. And then against Victoria, he made the world's slowest 50 because he's a coward and was trying to draw.
Do you think he's maybe learnt his lessons too hard from the Ashes, where he sort of like got himself into a rhythm and then got too comfortable and got out, and maybe he's trying not to like get too comfortable, but...
Just
robbing himself of runs?
I think probably at the start of the summer, it might have been Travis Head's number 5 spot to lose.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's gone now.
I can't see how they can pick him now.
I'm a huge advocate for him. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased as well.
Well, I assume they're going to pick the test squad halfway through that last Shield game. So he's really only got one more game to prove himself before that squad comes out. And he'd probably need 2 tons to actually
be... We've got the stats here. He's a long way behind... Four or five other blokes.
Yes.
He's in the same spot.
So he's made 63 runs, and in that was that 50 off 100 million balls against Victoria on the flattest deck of all time. So it's not good reading for him.
And speaking of blokes that have probably batted themselves out of the side, Matty Renshaw has yet to make, I think 24 is his highest score. He's gotten in every dig and then gotten
out. Double figures,
But he bats long, but doesn't make runs. Usman Khawaja's made 2 and zip in this game and has 27
going your way.
Marks. Yeah.
He wasn't out on that. He was given out caught behind for a golden duck and he wasn't out.
No.
But it just goes to show when you really need some luck to go your way and you're out of sorts, it just doesn't for you. Yeah.
And that's a chasing 150 in a Shield game against South Australia. That's when it's time to really, hang on, I can really make,
get a 50 or 60
here. Yeah. And not to be for Uzi, who looks like he's going to struggle to get into the side, but I don't know.
It's become really hard to bat at the Gabba over the last few years in the Shield.
Mm.
Like, it seems like 250 is a really good score up there, and it speaks highly of probably Marnus Labuschagne.
Well, I was going to say, one bloke who didn't have a problem, Marnus, starts 32 and 72, and he... guided them home. He did exactly what Uzi probably should have done.
Yeah, that's 50 and 100 at Adelaide Oval, and it's probably 300 and 600 at Junction.
Yeah.
It was almost like kind of an innings from Marnus in that last dig, because they lost 5 wickets in 15 balls.
It was incredible. Yeah,
he's almost like the, all right, hold my beer. I'll bloody do it if you guys can't.
And they threw everything at him as well. Yeah.
So another 100 runs in the match for Marnus. So
he's looking like a decade plus batsman for the Aussies, isn't he?
But in saying that, he still hadn't converted.
Again,
he hasn't made a ton yet.
Yeah. So he ran out of time, actually.
He ran out of time in the second dig, but that first innings, another 70 odd or something like that. And he's
averaging 75 at this point.
we'll cop that. But at the same time, he would be dirty on himself for not converting one of those and just nailing it home.
Yes, I agree with that. Joe Burns made 39 and 22, neither helping nor hindering his cause.
He's there or thereabouts.
Yeah, he is. Michael Neeser, 5 in the first bowling innings of Queensland, is very nice to see as well. He's clearly in their thoughts. He was in the Ashes touring squad. But speaking of quicks, Mitchell Starc is the man from this Shield round. 5 for 20 and 5 for 40 in the two Tasmanian batting innings. New South Wales won that game by 8 wickets. They made 364 in their first dig, and then Starc with the 2 5-fers, 268 and 140. The Tassies were blown. The Tigers were blown away for, and he's put himself right back in front of the selectors' noses.
The most impressive part, aside from taking 10 wickets for bugger all, is the fact that he bowled 17 maidens and only went at 1.4. for the entire match. So the big knock on him is that he takes wickets, he's aggressive, he's good up front, but he can't bowl through the middle overs, he leaks runs, and he bowls a bit all over the shop. He didn't bowl all over the shop. He gave them nothing, and he was just on top of them the whole time. Obviously, it's a step down from playing Test cricket, but to see him not leaking any runs and just being aggressive and taking wickets, it's just good to see.
Counterpoint. I think it's very silly and potentially a huge mistake from Mitchell Starc, because the last bloke who took a 10 for New South Wales got dropped.
Yeah.
Big Harry Conway.
He did. That's true. Well, yeah, I'm sure Starc will be straight back outside.
Yeah, Cummins and Hazel would come back for him next game, so that's he might be tipped out.
How's that?
I reckon he's paid.
How's the one day squad they've picked, by the way?
Unreal.
Eight blokes that have played tests out of the 12, including the entire Australian first choice.
Bowling,
test
11. Yeah.
Tassie didn't give much of a yelp.
No, they're not. They're not great, are they?
You've Matty Wade made a 20 and a 40, which is there or thereabouts again, kind of similar to Joe Burns, and no one else barely passed 20, especially in that second year.
George Bailey, has he retired?
I think he was dropped. I think they've chosen to go with Alex Dorn over him.
So they're pretty much going with what we were saying they should do with Sean Marsh earlier.
Yeah.
Tassie's gone. Yeah, thanks, mate.
Well, he's even older again, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
It's funny.
I'm
going to
miss his ass staring at
me. Yeah, after years of him turning his back on us, Tasmania's turned his back on us.
Very good. I was going to mention George Bailey before.
Sorry.
Now that the Marsh Cup is coming, or the One Day Cup is coming back tomorrow, it got me thinking as to the last player we picked in the test team based on their One Day form. So Uzi's horribly out of form in the Sheffield Shield. But he made tons in the One Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when George Bailey dominated against India in India, we then picked him for the Ashes.
Because he's been such good
nick.
Yeah.
But those were international
Correct.
One-day runs
Very good.
Instead of domestic
Very
one-day
good
runs
call.
At the jump.
So at what point do you reckon there's any players in the One-Day format like Uzi who hasn't actually played that well in the Shield game that might still get a run in the Test team because of their white ball form?
Warney had picked Darcy Short, Marcus Stoinis and Riley Meredith.
Every day of the week, Warney.
And Aaron Finch.
It's because you know why that is? Because Warney's looking at the clubs, the circuit afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going, how good would Marcus Stoinis be to have around?
I went out with the oil rig. How good would that be?
May as well chuck Zach Crawley in as well.
I think it's going to be a lot tougher this time around just because there's so much Sheffield Shield to go. To happen,
yeah,
you know, that at that point they were having to pick blokes on those runs because they were the only international ones getting scored.
Yeah. There's a larger sample size, I guess, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Games, yeah.
There is. It was nice to see Steve Smith make another ton and then
got triggered in the second.
Triggered in the second.
Was bowled
between his legs when he made that ton as well, which is just the man can do anything. Can do absolutely
anything's possible.
Warner not really amongst the runs, but I don't think his position is under threat. It's tough to see Curtis Patterson. He did a hammy
again.
I think it's his second hammy of the year, which is must have rushed him in.
That's
too
a shame because he would be someone that would probably be getting a good look in. At five,
you'd think so for sure. Yeah, I mean he's a quad, already like, you know he plays in New South Wales, so he's way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
on that note, we put to the guys maybe. Put together your top six for the upcoming series against Pakistan and New Zealand we're playing. Beezy, what did you come up with? Who's your top six?
Well, I think the top six that I think will get picked, Warner locks himself in because he's made 100 already, and even though he's done nothing since, he's made 100 and he's David Warner, so he's in. I was always strong on whoever made the most runs in the Shield opening the batting would... But he batted at three, so I'm taking him out. So I'm going to go with Marcus Harris. He's averaging 64 at the moment. He's going okay. Made a few runs in the first innings against WA.
At the Wacker.
Yeah, at the Wacker. So I've got him in. Labuschagne three, Smith at four. Now this is where I'm going to go
bold.
A little bit left field. I'm going to go, I want to see Will Pekowski bat at five.
Five, okay.
Because he's, again, he's making runs, he's batting well, and he's young, and he's going to be that next future. Like, when I say, look at the next Ashes, he's the one that I reckon will be in that team. And my man, the oil rig.
I want
him at six. He's batting well. He took some crucial wickets to break Victoria's back in the middle there and get that result.
He's
done
got,
for WA.
He's got a little bit of, like, not quite Shane Watson about him because he doesn't move it like Watson does, but he has that.
He can gum up
the works, yeah.
He's not that one, like, back end of Watson's career. He was that 120K.
He won't be attacking like Watson,
let's just
but
do
he
that.
Won't get,
but I don't know. I think he can really get him through. He's got a good, I think he averages 40-something with the ball. Not this
41.
Year, but overall.
41.
Yep. And... when he's averaging 58 with the bat, 350s from three hits, he's in good nick. So, and he made a chanceless 100 or 50 balls in the one day as before. So he's seeing him well. I want him in the team.
Yep. Okay. Eth?
I've gone with David Warner at one. I think most of us will agree on that. You know, he's made that shield ton. He's not, you wouldn't say he's out of form at the moment. He's not in form, but, you know, he's done enough to get himself picked. I've gone probably not on Sheffield Shield form. I've got Usman Khawaja opening the batting at two.
I told you to turn his mic off. If turn it off now. He's got no idea this
I mean, if he fails again, then, you know, that sort of position's in doubt. I was
averaging 6.8 in the Sheffield Shield season.
Yeah, it's not great. He also averages 90-odd opening the batting in Test cricket. I think it's not out of the question that he could open the batting in, well, if we're looking at it, the Ashes in, you know, the whenever the next Ashes series is back
couple
here.
Years, yeah.
He could very possibly do it. In brackets, I've got Nick Maddison as a backup.
Sheesh.
The mad dog.
Because I don't think anyone's really...
Mustache I think that nearly does warrant a mic off.
Hey!
We've joked around a
well,
little bit.
Well, I can't pick a South Australian, can I? None of them are making any runs at all.
You get Jake Weatherall.
No. But, you know, no one else has really pressed their case to open the batting at the moment. So, you know, Joe Burns isn't, you know, storming the house down. Mm-hmm. You know, Cam Bancroft's making runs. Harris, sort of, you know, he made runs at Junction Oval, but so is everyone else. Labuschagne and Smith, 3-4, they pick themselves. I've got Matty Wade at 5. I think he probably deserves a test on home soil.
Yep.
Then again, so does Glenn Maxwell. He's never had one. And I agree with you, Tom. I've got Will Pekowski at 6 because I think if you're going to blood him, you may as well blood him in probably the spot that's easiest. You could bat him ahead of Wade at 5, but I think, you know, Wade's experience sort of, you know, has him in favour there.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. George, how many South Australians have you fit in here?
Well, Tom Andrews has had a really good opening. Oh, I'm joking.
Jake Lehman, the captain.
It was so
he actually
difficult.
Has to be fair.
It was actually so difficult not Tommy to put Cooper. Tommy Cooper. Yeah. He made another 50, and Callum Ferguson has, you know, kind of been break into the Shield team because I feel like they're leaving him, get his body right, straight into the Test team. No.
Yeah, it seems
likely, right.
Man. Yeah.
We've spoken about Warner. Warner's in. I've got Harris in here only because no one else has kind of done enough, but he's got an asterisk next to his name. Mm. I can kind of see a point with Khawaja. Labuschagne, 3. Smith, 4. Wade, 5. Pekowski at 6. I think if there's going to be a time to get a kid into the team and hopefully make him a decade-long player, then it's against the Pakistanis in Australia. And don't put him at 3.
No.
Well, that's Labuschagne's spot.
Labuschagne's spot anyway, but I like the fact that we can bring someone in and we've got someone at 3 now who's shown that they can do it because I did a little bit of research and we've got 1-2. Khawaja started at 3 and had 17 test matches there and couldn't quite convert. Then he had 2 years out of the team. Sean Marsh tried 12 innings at 3, didn't work. Ed Cowan batted there 3 times. Rob Quiney 4 times. Doolan 8.
Dawn.
Phil Hughes batted there 10 innings. And Shane Watson batted there at 27. So I like that we've got a chance now where Labuschagne's kind of got that 3 position and then we can bring in Pekowski or someone a bit younger down at 5 and 6 to blood them gently, like where Ponting kind of started his career. I like your idea about Stoinis because he's in pretty good form, but I actually don't think we need that extra bowler if we've got 3 fit and firing quicks, Nathan Lyon.
And Matthew
if you
Wade.
Have to bowl, if you have to bowl,
Matthew Wade's the quickest of
the
lot.
So I know the oil rig's in good form, but there's probably no real need for him at the moment. So
he's Western Australian, mate. He'll be in there.
He's Western Australian.
And Labuschagne bowls anyway. Like, he's actual wicket taker.
If you need him to bowl 10 overs, he can bowl 10 overs. So Warner, Harris, Labuschagne, Smith, Wade, Pekowski.
Mine's pretty similar to all of you guys. I got Warner. The only difference is I've got Joe Burns opening because I just think on the body of work he's done over the last couple of years, it's worth giving him a crack. And he's right-handed. And I'd just like to see left and right open it. So Warner, Burns, Labuschagne, Smith, Wade at 5, and then Pekowski at 6. Because I agree with you, it's time to blood him.
Get him in.
All right, that's enough of the domestic Australian stuff. We've actually got a special guest with us, the resident Pom. You all know him, Matt Bellotti.
Special.
Yeah.
Who let him back in?
On board because
can you give us a quick you're right, mate, just to test those mics out?
Oh, you're right, mate.
There we go.
No.
The drop-off rate at this point of the pod is
give me a quick Jason Roy.
What, just going at really hard hands on the mic?
Time spent listings down, TSL, just through the floor. But England are doing this weird thing called the 100.
Yep.
Where they're going to do an even shorter version of, they're just going to lop 20 balls off a 20-20, basically. So it's a 100-ball thing. And they've had a draft, like a fantasy-style draft. I don't really understand what this is.
Yeah, great.
But what is there? 1, 2, 3, 4,
that's why
five,
we got Bellotti in.
2, 3, 4.
Try and piece this together.
8 teams. And they've got stupid names like Trent Rockets and Northern Superchargers.
Yep. the originals.
Can you please explain? Please explain this.
There's so much to unpack here. And the thing that I like best is that you've brought me in as the expert on the 100. Just before stepping in, I've genuinely just Googled what are the rules of the 100. Because this is one of the most stupid things. And you talk about the stupid names, Northern Superchargers. That's one of the more sensible things, if anything. It's an absolute nonsense. Nobody's asked us to change the rules of the game. We were all quite happy with what cricket had to offer. But for some reason,
doing pretty well.
We all get it. We all understand it. It's normal. There are six balls in an over. And what the English in their infinite wisdom have decided is to decimalise the game of cricket. Each innings in the 100.
They still use miles and pounds, but we're going to have a 100 ball game of cricket.
We're going to decimalise a sport. The clue's in the name. There's 100 balls per innings instead of the 120 we're all happy with the T20. And bowlers bowl either 5 or 10 balls at a go. Because you change ends, not at the end of an over, but at the end of every 10 balls. So you might have two bowlers bowling two spells of 5 for their bit, and bowlers can bowl a maximum of 20 balls per bowler. And
I hope
there
this
is
fails
a
so we don't
25
get this in the big bash in
ball
2 years
power
time.
Plays. And it's played with a white ball. And so there you go. Anyway, it's going to be taking place, because obviously that's really clear and obvious. It's taking place right in the middle of the English summer next year, from the middle of July to the middle of August, when everyone's watching cricket. And it's aimed, by their own admission, not really at cricket fans. What they're hoping for is that this is going to be the marketing tool to get little kids to watch it. And then they'll kind of grow up and become more engaged with cricket, which as a goal, actually, you kind of commend and say, great, there are dangerous echoes with AFLX. You're looking at this going, oh, for crying out loud, what have you not seen there?
What's been a super duper maximum?
We're in big trouble here. So, but there are some interesting things. That's a nonsense rule, but everyone's going to watch it for the simple reason that the best players in world cricket are all there. Also, it's really Australian friendly. Like, there's loads of, out of the 8 teams, 5 of them are coached by Aussies. Tom Moody's in charge of the Oval Invincibles. May God have mercy on our souls. Shane Warne is coaching London Spirit. So no flies. Yeah, Shane fancied a bit of a month-long party in London there. Darren Lehman's in charge of the Northern Superchargers. Simon Katic is in charge of Manchester Originals.
GWS
is on. And Andrew McDonald is in charge of Birmingham Phoenix. But that isn't the team I think you should support if you're Australians. For me, I think you should be all about Welsh Fire. For the main reason that you've got Steve Smith and Mitchell Starc playing for them, but also because they're not English. So you can actually cheer on them. 7 English teams. They're also quite good. You add in Johnny Bairstow, the most exciting young talent in English.
Good.
Well, it'd be nice for you guys to try and support him and try and find some good in there. I think.
That's
going to be hard. Maybe that's
the one I'm looking forward to is Tom Benton.
I was just going to say the most exciting young player in English cricket is Tommy Banton playing.
No
for
one
Welsh
knows
Fire.
Who he is yet, but after the Big Bash, everyone will know who he is.
That's right. Yeah. I agree with that. Like Jofra Archer.
Yeah. So that's cool. So they're based there. And the final, I would say, interesting and not only interesting, but brilliant thing is that all 8 teams are sponsored by snacks. So you have the Oval Invincibles, who are going to be playing at the Oval, are sponsored
the
by
Kia
really?
Oval. Let's get get our sponsors.
Yes,
George Kia. Works in promotions.
Correct.
They're sponsored by KP. Sadly, not Kevin Peterson. It's KP Nuts, which is very nice. Do we have KP Nuts in Australia? No.
Nope.
They're great. Trent Rockets by Skips, which are delightful little porn cocktail sort of things. coached by Stephen Fleming. London Spirit by Tyrrell's Chips. Now, you definitely have Tyrrell's here.
I know Tyrrell's as well.
A bit like sort of a poor man's kettle chips. They're not going to be sponsoring us. Northern Superchargers are by Pop Chips. I don't even know what that is. Manchester Originals by McCoy's. Tremendous chips. McCoy's.
Do you have a deal with anyone? Are you trying to
this is genuinely... You've asked me.
No, I like this.
Come in and tell us the interesting things about the 100. I've gone straight for the snacks. Southern Braves by Pom Bears. Do we know Pom Bears? Kind of European, sort of like it all, in the shape of a teddy bear thing. Wonderful. Welsh Fire even. Hula Hoops. Brilliant. Again, these are all great snacks. You guys are missing out.
What,
and last...
The plastic.
And last, close Birmingham enough. Phoenix, playing at Edgbaston under Andrew McDonald, are sponsored by Butterkissed Popcorn.
Hang on. I want to know, where is Walkers? Why has Walkers not jumped on board here? Are they too tied up with Leicester?
Well, I don't know whether it's that. These are the up-and-coming snacks. Like, if you're in the grade one, you're probably a bit too good for the 100. We're trying to... Get this young
imagine
audience.
Having like a Samboy Sydney Sixers or something like that.
I'm across most of these, right? So Oval Invincibles are in London.
Yes.
So are London Spirit. Trent Rockets, I assume, play at Trent Bridge, Nottingham.
Excellent.
Right? Northern Superchargers, I'm guessing Leeds. Yeah.
Headingley.
Right. Manchester, obviously, Old Trafford.
Yep.
Welsh Fire will be playing
Sophia Gardens, Cardiff. Yep.
Birmingham Phoenix will be in Birmingham.
Yep.
Slough and Brave?
Aegeus Bowl, Hampshire. Yeah. Well, formerly the Rose Bowl.
Right. Yep.
So the way the format is, they play each other once, and then they pair up into rivalries, because nothing says convincing sport more than forced rivalries.
It's so first season.
Okay, so Oval and London are rivals. Trent and Birmingham are rivals.
Yes, they would be. Yeah, Trent and Birmingham. Yep.
Leeds and Manchester. So that leaves Southern, Brave and Wales. Right, yeah. Okay, naturally, yeah.
Maybe it's Southern and London, actually. And I think Birmingham and Wales might be the go.
But then what happens with Oval? Because they are the other London side.
Mate, you've caught me off guard.
Yeah.
To be honest, I lifted the snacks out. I don't know what more you want.
Yeah. I'm mostly also keen. Another thing drawing me to Welsh Fire is Ryan Tendiscarta, who's 39 years old.
Adelaide's strike his own.
One-day international average of 67.
Suck on that, Vera Kelly.
I'm struggling to go past London Spirit, to be honest, because they have Glenn Maxwell and Mohamed Nabi in them, and I've... big fans of those.
They're my smoky. Just I think as well, yeah. Owen Morgan.
Shane Warne coaches them.
Yeah, and Owen Morgan as captain is going to probably be pretty good. I think if you were to try and look at the thing is, we have no idea how this is going to play. It's a nonsense game, totally made up by drunkens on an afternoon looking for marketing opportunities. You can't look at it.
The
best on paper would be Southern Brave, but it doesn't mean anything. It's a drivel.
I have one pressing question for the competition. Is there a boundary count back?
Of course.
Yes.
Having had a look at the teams, have the Aussies in the room managed to pick a side that they'd sort of get around? Like,
Nathan Remington's Northern Superchargers, for sure.
Aaron Finch and Chris Lynn play for them as
which
well.
Which also has Ben Stokes. So if there is a boundary count back, I'm all about that because I probably win the whole thing.
Ben Stokes and Ben Folks.
Yeah, watching Lynn and Finch open together and Stokes at three would be...
David Willey. It's going to be actually quality, to be honest. George?
Do you think more people have Googled what is the 100 or what is Brexit?
I think we're sick of Brexit. Hours, yeah. We'll still not have done it by then. Yeah. So we'll have to have the cricket to distract us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You busy, George? You got a team? Like,
Do I have to?
George needs to scare it for South Australians, obviously.
Yeah, where's Travis head?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. All right. So that probably accurately reflects the enthusiasm for the 100 in the room.
Bring it
so,
on.
Thanks.
You're so
there's nothing surer than we will all watch it.
Absolutely.
We're going to shit can it, but we will absolutely watch it.
I'm just thinking the time zone might not be that great if it's going to be played at night time.
But Fox Cricket will buy it and it'll be watched. It'll be on our screens.
It'll be on our screens, mate, a fair bit. I'll be watching it. It's cricket and it'll be on TV, so that's fine. Thanks for that.
All the 2020 historians will be like, oh God, 2020 cricket's going to die now. All the history of 2020 cricket.
The 2020 purists.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching the ESPN Crick Info statisticians' minds blow up trying to explain the 5 and 10 ball thing. All right, thanks for that, Blotz. We'll do a little quick recap because we've gone over a bit. South Africa are currently capitulating in India. They've lost the first test by 203, the second by an innings 137. They need 203 to make India bat again in the third test with 2 wickets in hand. They've absolutely given up.
They're cooked.
Yeah.
They suck.
They're generationally bad. I don't think I've ever seen a South African team
that
bad.
Well, they've cooked themselves by blokes walking to county cricket, which is a separate issue, but they've also, at the same time, it's collided with Steyn, de Villiers, Amla, all these generational, Mornay Morkel, these guys who were superstars of the sport, all retiring within a year or two of each other, and there is just this big gap in the best and the worst of South African cricket. Those ones have been poached, these ones have retired, and then
their other issue is that Dean Elgar, who's one of their reasonable batsmen, got knocked out. He had a concussion.
God, that was
then
ugly.
Thornis De Bruyne has to come back in, who's the guy who got dropped from the last test.
Yeah.
The last test. So they don't have a Marnus Labuschagne ready to go in.
That's right.
Nail down his spot forever.
Well, one of the best deliveries ever.
That was incredible. Yeah. Not to mention, they've only got one decent spinner in Maharaj, who's done his shoulder.
Yeah.
They're reeling out like George Lindham, whoever else.
Yeah, India just having them for breakfast. It's a little bit.
It's
not
no good.
Much fun to watch. We'll wrap up with a little bit of a WBBL recap. Phoebe Litchfield, 16 years old, won a game off her own bat for the Sydney Thunder against Brisbane Heat the other day, 52-48, and the Sixers look hard to beat in that comp with Elise Perry and Alyssa Healy batting off the top. But
yeah, they look like that every year, don't they?
Yes, they do. And then finally, before we go, this is what relatively new news. Bangladeshi cricketers are striking to try and force the board to improve the conditions for the players and just cricket in general. Right. And the next month's tour of India is under threat. I reckon that will probably find a way to go ahead if because gonna, no one.
No, I think they've that. Just seen what's happened to South Africa and they're like, we're good.
If you're going to strike, there's probably, you know, do it against India because that'll actually get a couple of
that's right. So people I think looking. That's probably about enough for us. We've gone on too long. George has given us a big wind up. So yeah, that's it for us. I've been your host, Rudy Edsel, been joined by Tommy Beers.
Thanks, mate.
Ethan Neldrum.
Thank you.
George Porter.
Go the Spiders.
Matt Bellotti, who's now gone. We'll see you next time.